Progressive Party. Welcome, Wendy.
Welcome, Bobby P. How are you today?
Oh, I'm exhausted and I don't even know why.
I haven't talked to you all day today, but
How was work?
Work was busy. Lots of stuff going on and always something to do. So, yeah.
Exactly. I don't know how I feel about Trump wanting us to go back to school or not get federal funding. Does that mean
it's
if I don't go back to school, I don't get paid, I don't do online?
It sounds like if the schools don't open and the governors don't make the schools open, regardless of CDC and expert scientific evidence, he's going to stop federal funds to the schools. So, yeah, maybe you're not getting paid. I don't know.
Wow.
Sounds like another strike to me, but I'm just going to guess.
We can't strike against the president, though.
Or we would have done that on November 3rd.
We would have done that a long time ago.
On November 3rd, we can strike against the president.
So also, it looks like Officer Lane seeks a dismissal in the Floyd murder. That's totally bizarre. But
wow.
Yeah. The body camera came out today, and I heard Brett talking about it a lot during his show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't see you all day. I was, where was I? I was in Minneapolis, you know, that foreign country over there across the river.
Across the river.
Yeah, that I'm scared to go to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you being a New Yorker, you love Minneapolis.
That's right, I do.
Yeah, wow.
And, you know, times are changing here, and we need to get the names of the teams that are derogatory, and we need to get the mascots changed, and we need all that to be changed. It's time.
Well, we did the symposium, which will be rebroadcast on AM 950 on Sundays last night, and we had Clyde Belcourt and David Glass, who are way behind. For 30 years, have been fighting these racist names of sports teams. And I think he said something like over 1,100 schools have changed their names period.
Yeah.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed because we don't know. We have one man making the decision for that Washington team.
Yeah,
and we just
Redskins,
don't know. Don't say that word. We just don't know, right? The Washington team. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Cleveland team, and you have the Kansas City team. Mm-hmm. You also have the Atlanta team. Mm-hmm. And we need to change the names. And I think this is the best time as any, especially after what's going on in the country and around the world.
Absolutely. But there's a lot of people out there who have a different perspective on it. They think that changing the names and the names of the teams were not put forth meant to be derogatory. And that by doing all this, I'm going to read.
Oh.
What this person wrote.
What?
Why changing of the names with everything? Seriously, people, let it be and be proud. It's not offensive to any culture or race. Get over it and just live. So that's a lot of people out there who feel that way.
Mm. Yeah, well, I don't know. All I have to say is Bidet Makoska, you know. They could change the name of that lake, and it was Bidet Makoska for 10,000 years, and it was Calhoun for 50 years, and were all crying about it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, do I have an edge today, Wendy?
I'm very edgy today.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm about to
snap.
That
shirt. I like that shirt you have on there.
Thank you.
Isn't that my shirt?
Well,
A Tribe Called Red.
It is. Called Red.
Right on. That's a well, you know, ask me what I did today.
Robert, what did you do today?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I was with this philosopher, novelist, filmmaker, investigative journalist, poet, playwright, photographer, and filmmaker, and we were going around Minneapolis. His name's Andre Volchek, and we were going around Minneapolis and checking out what happened to Minneapolis during the George Floyd murder.
Wow.
And then the 8 days after that. So I want to get Andre on right away.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear from him today.
Hey, Andre, welcome to Pilots Progressive Party, and welcome to Minnesota.
Robert, Wendy, thank you so much. It's a great pleasure to be on your show.
Cool. Can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself? You have a little accent there, and you were born in?
I was born in Soviet Union, which is now Russia, and in a city called Leningrad, which was renamed to St. Petersburg. But I am an internationalist. I live in many parts of the world, mainly lately commuting between Asia. I'm based in Japan and Bangkok, Thailand, and also South America, based in Santiago de Chile. So I'm a writer. I wrote 35 books, published in many, many languages and translations, and I make big documentary films, usually exposing imperialism, Western imperialism. So I work in very far away and very dangerous places like Rwanda, DRC, Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, and in some environment.
Oh, I think we just lost you.
Borneo Island, in Indonesia. So this kind of things. And I produce a lot of books, reports, and films from these places.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, I noticed you did a documentary on Rwanda, and I've always wondered what is your opinion on what happened there? Was the United States just burnt out because of what happened during the Black Hawk Down, in Somalia because of that debacle that happened to them? Did they just not have the fortitude or the courage to stop that genocide? What happened there?
Well, basically, the reason Rwandan genocide took place was because the West was supporting Tutsis, and then I got former ambassador of the United States, Robert Platten, on the camera, and he confirmed that the U.S. was actually behind arming Tutsis who were based in neighboring Uganda. Then the plane was shut down with two presidents, Rwandese and Burundian president, and horrible bloodletting began. But in the bloodletting, a few hundred thousands of people died. But the most terrible story came after that, when the West supported President Kagame Tutsi and his army, RPF, which invaded Democratic Republic of Congo. And according to the UN mapping report that was published, I think, 7 years ago, around 5 million people were murdered. By now, it's about 9 million.
Mm-hmm.
So Congo has coltan, gold, diamonds, uranium, and all these natural riches. So what the Western public, including U.S. public, knows about Rwandese genocide and then the ongoing genocide in Congo is what they saw in the film Hotel Rwanda, which is absolute propaganda film. It's incorrect. So I spent 3.5 years making the film, filming in Rwanda, Congo, Uganda, but also in Australia. I worked with the UN investigators. I filmed in the United States, of course, and in other parts of the world where the Rwandese diaspora is located. So this is precisely, I think the film is very relevant to what is happening now, and I will explain why. Because when we talk about Black Lives Matter, I fully, fully agree with that. But I would add Black lives all over the world matter. Mm. So it's not only Black lives in the United States, but also Black lives in Africa and elsewhere matter. And I saw Black lives being destroyed by millions, you know, precisely in places like Congo, like Uganda, like Rwanda, and Somalia, which you mentioned. So I also made a big documentary film about the biggest at the time refugee camp in the world, which is called Dadaab, where at the time, 500,000 people, mainly Somalian refugees, were living in northern Kenya. And these are people who never, two generations, never saw anything else except the camp and the desert, which is like itself a horrific condition. And, you know, everything in this life is interconnected. So yesterday I flew from Washington, D.C. I landed in Minneapolis, and my driver was from Ethiopia. And we began talking, and I told him that I worked in, that I made a film about Dadaab. And this man actually went through the Dadaab camp. Wow. Because it was not only Somalians, it was also, you know, other people, including Ethiopians, were there. So I come here, and symbolically, the first person in Minneapolis that I meet is an Ethiopian driver who came, who went through the horrific camp about which I made a film. So all Black lives matter, whether they are in Minneapolis or in New Orleans, but also places like Rwanda or Congo or Somalia.
Wow. Hey, so we got to take a quick break. But wow, I can't wait to get into this and talk about why you're here and then talk about your books and your publication. We're so honored to have you on here. You're worldwide, and we're really excited to have you on, Andre. We'll be
so happy to see you. It's a great time for me, too.
Right on. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Pilots Progressive Party.
During July, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is offering $700 off new energy-efficient air conditioners with payments as low as $50 a month or 0% financing. No doubt that's a great offer, but is it a hot deal or cool savings? Either way, you'll be escaping the latest summer heat wave in cool comfort. Find out more about these great savings on a new air conditioner at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hey, Cudigy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Located on Grindstone Lake in Sandstone, Osprey Wild Campus is beautiful this summer. Reserve our group campsite, yurt, or rustic cabin for small group gatherings. Cool off in the lake and watch the sunset around the campfire. Explore our 7 miles of hiking trails or join us for designated picnic pickup events when our kitchen staff prepares summer meals for you to take home or enjoy on site. For details, dates, and reservations, visit us online at OspreyWilds.org. What a hypnosis is, what is it?
Cause I really like to know what is it. Welcome back to Pilot's Progressive Party. Yeah, welcome. Hey, we have Andre Volchek on here, and we are so happy to have you on. You're world renowned, not what we're used to is country renowned, but you're world renowned. And I know I just Googled your name before the show, and it's everywhere. So we're really, we have a superstar amongst us. So thank you so much for being on, Andre.
I say I'm super notorious.
That's right. Super notorious. That's right.
Yeah.
So
thank you. And it's great to be with you.
Yeah. Thank you. And so let's first, let's give a couple websites. Let's talk about some books. And then definitely, I think we got into a little bit about why you're here and the amazing thing when you came off the plane. I don't believe in coincidences. So that was a beautiful, that you're in the right place kind of thing that happened to you.
Well, of course, I was following events in Minneapolis since the very beginning, and I was asked to analyze what is happening here on several television shows, and I was writing articles. And then I realized it's actually very hypocritical to be writing and talking about the events in your city from the distance. Now, I wanted to go right away, but the COVID-19 caught me in the city of Santiago in the South American country of Chile, which had the most draconical, which still has some of the most draconical lockdown anywhere in the world. Basically, the border was closed, and except one flight to Miami, which was kind of emergency or repatriation flight, there was no way to get out of the country. And I was sitting there for 3.5 months after I left Hong Kong. I couldn't make it here until now, when I just 5 days ago got on that flight, arrived in Miami, and then went to Washington. And from Washington, D.C., I came to your city. So unfortunately, I'm here weeks after the terrible tragedy happened and Mr. Floyd was murdered by the police. Otherwise, I would be here a long time ago. But because of the lockdown, because of COVID-19, I'm here now. But now I'm really ready to listen, to understand what is happening. I spent about 15 years in the United States. When I was young, I was studying film in New York, and I traveled, of course, all over the country. And it's a very important moment to come back again. This is my first time in Minneapolis. I usually go to either New York or to LA, where I'm working with the philosopher John Cobb Jr., but this time I'm here, and I'm very happy that I'm here, because we met, and I'm able to listen to people and try to understand what is happening. So, of course, this is going to be transformed to reports and interviews. So I'm trying to talk to Native Americans and to African Americans in Washington, in Minneapolis, in New York, and in Boston very soon.
So you just got a little taste of what happened. What's your general feeling that you were at the George Floyd Memorial? What was your general feeling there when you got there?
It's extremely emotional. It's, of course, very sad. But the only good thing that came out of this terrible tragedy is that it appears that this country is awakening. Things that are discussed now, things that are getting taken for granted now, would be even impossible to mention, I think, in the mainstream media 1 or 2 years ago. So people do realize that there is a horrible problem here, that there is a racism, that there is really deeply rooted racism. But not only that, people are finally addressing the past. They are addressing the history. And I always believe that without addressing the history, there is no way to find a way forward. So for years and decades, of course, I was writing about the terrible plight of Native Americans and about the genocide that came with the colonization of the United States and what is now United States, about the slavery, about the British imperialism and French imperialism, and these people were hunting down African people and bringing them under absolutely inhuman conditions to the so-called New World, to the United States, but also to countries like Brazil, where they were stripped of their culture and their families were destroyed, and they were actually forced to build the nations, new nations, on the ruins of the ancient native civilizations. Mm-hmm. So this finally being addressed, because everybody, theoretically, when I lived in the States, everybody kind of knew it, but it was not it was never something that would be openly discussed. It's not that you would go with your friends out and you would start talking about the past, or it was nothing that you would hear from the national television networks. And this is happening now. I mean, all this is openly discussed. 2 days ago, I took the side trip from Washington to Baltimore, where they literally dragged the statue of Christopher Columbus to the to the house. And so I was just photographing the stand that was left there. And, you know, Columbus, it was never questioned. It was some kind of a romantic figure before to hear who, oh, my God, discovered America. What does it mean, discovered America? He was an Italian crook who was employed by the Spanish crown, an adventurer who basically brought the Spanish army on the on its fleet to Western Hemisphere, and because of him, millions and millions of people were destroyed right from the beginning. They caught diseases, they were murdered, they were enslaved, and then, of course, the famous extermination campaign of the Native Americans began by other refugees, by other immigrants, sorry, who came from Europe. Mm-hmm. So in both states and Canada. You know, I was last year I was working in Regina and Winnipeg in Canada. They invited me to speak there. And I learned the horrors that were done to Native Americans even there. I thought it's more the issue of the United States. No, it's the entire North America was plundered, humiliated, and you know, people were massacred by millions. So this is a good thing that that came out of this horrible and brutal and sad event, that both people, both Native Americans and African Americans, are now aware of their past, and they can openly discuss these things. So I just hope that something tremendous is going to come out of it for them, but also for the rest of the world, because as I said before, Black lives matter everywhere, and indigenous, native lives matter everywhere too, and they are being oppressed everywhere. Mm-hmm. by the Western European colonialists and their offspring. I see it in Latin America. I see it everywhere. So it's extremely important to connect dots and to discuss what is really done to Native Native Bolivians, to Native Chileans, to Mexicans, to people everywhere, and to also African people who are being sacrificed by millions just so their natural resources can be plundered and brought to both Europe and the United States and North America in general.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you said something earlier. We're going to take a break here in 1 second, but you said something earlier to me too. It seems like that the elite white people And there's two different groups of people, elite white people and everybody else. And that's even, you know, poor white people and everything are put into this fishbowl of racism towards, I guess is any other way I can put it.
Yes. And we see it basically everywhere. It is about race, unfortunately. Very often they say it's not, but it is. And I wrote in one of my essays lately that unfortunately, now there are only two races in this world. It's the white race and to which belongs the elites of Europe and the United States and even places like Latin America, and the other. Look, I have Russian and European and Chinese blood, and I don't feel like white. I mean, basically, because being white is not only color of the skin anymore. It's a state of mind too. It's a culture of oppressing the other, and that has to stop, of course. I mean, how often do you hear Chinese or Russian or African person getting on the television and even talking about being allowed to talk about their own country? Mm-hmm. It's boys' club.
Yeah.
Feeling yeah. that they teach the rest of the world about themselves. It's the white boys talking about China, explaining to Chinese who they are, yeah. Explaining to Russians who they are, and of course to Indians and to Africans and to Middle Easterners. So it is a real big problem that we are, as a humanity, as the world, that we are facing, and it has to change. And this moment through which we are living now may be the catalyst. And because people are waking up everywhere, you wouldn't believe, even in Asia, some countries like West Papua, which is going to genocide because of Indonesian oppression on behalf of the West, there are now Papuan Lives Matter in Indonesia, inspired by murder of Mr. Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't die for nothing. This is a huge awakening all over the world.
That's right. We're here with Andrei Volchek, and he's been gracious to be on us on our show right now. And he's a writer, filmmaker, documentary person. He has 100 books, it looks like. We're really happy to have him on.
And he speaks so many languages. I'm really impressed with this guy.
I know. And you're listening to Pilot's Progressive Party, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
Sky Pilots. Hi, Alex of Better Futures Minnesota. Does your business or organization need janitorial services, lawn care, or snow services? Obtain a free, no-obligation estimate from Better Futures Minnesota when you mention that you heard about us on AM 950. Our supervised, hardworking, and affordable crews will handle your interior and exterior building and property maintenance needs while you help men in your community transform their lives and walk on a positive path to success. It's a win-win. To learn more, go to betterfuturesminnesota.com under business services.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual, not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is the company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM 950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM950, and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
AM950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. 30% chance of showers and storms overnight with a low of 72, and a 40% chance of showers and storms on Thursday with a high of 89. Our eight local Minnesota restaurants are getting set to reopen their dining rooms in the near future, but in the meantime, make sure to support some of our eat local options with takeout, such as Great Wall Restaurant, Cafe Latte, Park Tavern, and Hazel's Northeast. Check them out today and place your takeout order now.
What a hypnosis is, what is it? Because I really like to know. What is it?
Welcome back to Pilot's Progressive Party. Wow, welcome back, Wendy. We got an unbelievable guest here, Andre Volchek, who is a philosopher, novelist, investigative journalist, filmmaker, and photographer. You got a question, don't you, Wendy?
Andre, I do have a question. You know what? Here in the United States, we have organized hate groups like the KKK, Aryan Nation, skinheads, and they're organized people who really cause detrimental effects on people who are not white. Do you see that in other parts of the world? And are they out there openly causing problems? What do you see?
Well, they do exist, of course, in particularly in Europe, where the skinheads and various right-wing movements, even neo-Nazis, exist in places like Germany, but also in the UK, but I think here it is perhaps more in open, in particularly in the South. But you do have clashes between the left and anarchists and these right wing groups in several European countries, including even in places like Czech Republic or in some East European countries, but definitely in UK and in other places. So I think that it is not just the United States. I think it is the Western world which is suffering from this disease of extreme right wing and racism, which demonstrates itself by attacking oppressing the people of different races and cultures. Of course, France has these problems too. These groups are usually illegal, but very often when the right-wing government comes to power, particularly in Europe, they become very vocal and, I would say, even tolerated. Of course, here in the United States, now with this extreme right-wing government, obviously, they probably feel emboldened as well.
Where do you think all this, I want to use the word propaganda, comes from, where it's, you know, where we're trying to separate and get Black people mad at Black people mad at Natives, Black people mad at poor mad people, you know, where is all this propaganda and this this coming from? We always talk about that, you know, in this country, there's only 8 people that own 90% of the media. Is it coming from our media?
Well, media, of course, is upholding the anti-left and extremely, you know, pro-business, temperature or mood. You see it with demonization of basically all countries that are not playing according to the Western rules. Now, if you read the mainstream U.S. or even British media about China or about Russia or about Iran, it's just or Venezuela, it is absolutely horrifying. And you know, here very sometimes people even confuse media outlets like the BBC for something progressive. It's not at all. It's very right-wing pro-establishment news channel, which is basically defending interests of the British government, which is extremely right-wing. But they, you know, they have a nice accent, so everybody thinks so civilized. But in reality, they are not any better than Fox or CNN. It's just they are much more refined, and they know how to manipulate the millions and hundreds of millions of people all over the world. That's actually where it's the mother of all propaganda. So in the United States, it's so horrific that now even CNN is considered by some to be a progressive or liberal or whatever you want to call a news outlet. Of course, if you listen to the or if you watch CNN in a really progressive country, it's a right wing, it's extremely right wing media outlet. But here in the United States,
I wonder, and Andre, you've cut off here. So what I wonder, and I want to ask when he comes back, is that is it following the money? Do you think is it following the money to because radio, like CNN, for instance, when Trump came into power before he became office, he got all that free advertising because people couldn't believe it. So he was on.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
There you go. Yeah, you cut off, Andre. So you were just saying how the CNN in other countries is really white ring, but here, white winged.
Bright ring. Oh, no, I can't.
Okay,
talk.
But anyway, but here in the United States, we think of it as like a liberal news media.
Well, it depends exactly where you from where you watch it. You know, CNN, for example, has many outlets all over Latin America. Even in a small country with 19 million like Chile, there is a CNN in Chile, or there is a CNN CNN in Espanol. So if you sit somewhere in Bolivia before the U.S. organized coup against the indigenous President Evo Morales, then Bolivia was still socialist and multicultural country, and you watch CNN, of course, it looks fascist. But then I guess if you are surrounded by the TV stations like Fox, then it may look relatively liberal, but it is definitely not. It's not going to give you an alternative view on what is happening in the world. They may fight with, for instance, with Democrats, or they can attack Trump, but they will definitely not fight for the second wave of decolonization of Africa or Latin America. They are actually upholding the status quo in the places that are being fully controlled by the United States and by the West. So you see, it's very different from which angle you are analyzing the situation. So it's the same goes for the relatively historically what is considered liberal press. In the U.S., they call the New York Times liberal press. Mm-hmm. But if you again see it from outside, it's a newspaper of the record of the regime, of the system, of the, wow, the U.S. system. So, for example, my friend and colleague, Noam Chomsky, with whom we made big film and wrote the book, whether he collects all the quotes from the New York Times, because he considers it the voice of the system. So he quotes always the New York Times to show how the propaganda actually works. Mm. And the New York Times is, for example, like the BBC in the UK, It is very refined. The language is very refined. The language is very civilized on the surface. But then you start really, when you start understanding what they are saying, and if you start reading their world news coverage, then, and you are in the field, then you understand how actually reactionary and how pro-imperialist these news outlets and media outlets really are.
Just a sec. Wendy has a question.
I have a question. We only have a couple of seconds here before we have to break again. But will you be back with us now? Stay on the show with us, Andre, for the rest of it? Okay. Because I wanted to ask if there's any place that you have been in the world that isn't so corrupt, or is there a nice place in the world, or an area or a country or a spot in the world that is good? So I want to ask you that when we come back after this break.
Sky Pilots. Hi, this is Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If you're running for office or a grassroots ballot initiative, getting out door-to-door made a lot of sense before coronavirus. Progressive candidates historically win elections with one-to-one voter contact, door knocking, and by organizing. With coronavirus, candidates and ballot initiatives need to pivot and recalibrate with a digital marketing strategy to provide one-to-one voter contact and organizing opportunities. An effective digital strategy will likely determine if your race goes blue this year or whether you're singing the blues. So, if you want to be singing Hail to the Chief on Election Day, Social Media MN can help. For a hassle-free consultation, contact us today at 763-244-4058. That's 763-244-4058. Or visit us online at socialmediamn.com. That's socialmediamn.com.
Hey, Cudigy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pini Gi, and thank you for your support.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com. What hypnosis is, what is it?
Back to Pilot's Progressive Party. Wow, Wendy, we got such a great guest, Andrea Volchek. He is a philosopher, novelist, investigative journalist, filmmaker, and photographer. I know you had a question for Andre.
Yeah, my question was simple. Is there any place that's good in the world where people get along and the media tells you the truth?
Well, you were also asking about corruption.
Yes, and corruption, absolutely.
Let me start with this because it's a very interesting topic. You see, I worked in 160 countries, and the conclusion to which I came is that, first of all this is interconnected to what we were discussing earlier. What is really corruption? How did corruption come to existence? Corruption came with colonialism. The most corrupt countries that we know today, be it Indonesia, for example, or be it some countries in Latin America, the corruption was born through the relationship between the colonizer and the servants of the colonial power, which were elites in local societies that were elevated to this intermediary status. So they betrayed their own people on behalf of the European colonizers, or now on behalf of the United States. So this is how corruption was actually born. So my point is that most of the pre-colonialist societies were socialist. They were really what we would call socialist now, without, you know, long time before somebody like Karl Marx was born, long before socialism or communism was invented in the West. So the society used to live in order to exist, in order to support each other, to progress, to improve the quality and standard of life. Be it China, be it Inca Empire, be it what we have now in India, these were very advanced societies. Then the colonialism came, and they destroyed everything, and they broke these countries, and they reduced them very often to absolutely subsistence, situation. Even China, the one of the oldest countries on earth, one of the greatest cultures on earth, it was invaded and broken to pieces by French, by the French, Brits, and Americans. They were Beijing was plundered and all that, and it was reduced from the greatest culture to total decadent number of states before the revolution that again united China into one powerful country. So my answer to your question, Wendy, is that most of the revolutionary governments come with enormous enthusiasm and optimism, but the West until now doesn't let them survive. They inject nihilism, they inject corruption, they start working immediately on destroying beautiful dreams that these countries have. And it goes for Cuba, it goes for Venezuela, it goes for many other places. So, for instance, Venezuela wanted to create an egalitarian society for the entire Latin America. So what did the West begin doing, particularly the United States, trying to overthrow the government, supporting horrible opposition, which was, again, white elites. They began supporting white elites against the people who rose and decided to fight for their nation. Bolivia, nobody can criticize Bolivia under Evo Morales, not even business people of Bolivia can, because he united the nation under the multiracial flag, and the indigenous people of Bolivia finally had their own voice. They had their own, they could govern their own country. And I knew Bolivia before the revolution, during the rule of Evo Morales, and I went there immediately after the U.S.-sponsored coup. You know, the first thing they did to the indigenous people, I was at 4,100 meters in Altiplano after the coup. I was talking to the elders, indigenous elders. They were crying. They said, if they are going to steal elections from us, they are going to fight. Mm. But you know what they told me? They said this white people from Santa Cruz, people of Camacho, those first thing they did to them, they made them kneel. They made them kneel and tie their hands behind their backs, because this was a symbol that these indigenous people have no power anymore, that they lost everything. So I think, for instance, countries like Bolivia was a perfect example of not such a perfect world, but still much better than anything that I knew in Latin America. I think Venezuela under Chavez was fantastic. Right. I still admire, and I have to tell you that even China, where I spent a lot of time, now is a fantastic, incredible country, which is totally smeared and attacked in Western media. But China is doing things like helping poor countries in Africa and in Oceania It is fighting for so-called ecological civilization, which nobody talks about in the United States. The economic progress, economic growth was slowed down by the president because they believe that it is better to have culture and high quality of life than a rat race. And they got rid of China with not such a high GDP per capita, got rid of poverty. In 2020, there is no extreme poverty. Mm-hmm. While here, the United States, which is much richer country on per capita basis, they under this extreme turbo capitalism, there are tens of millions of people without medical care and with horrible standards of living. Mm-hmm. So that's why this president is so outraged and so angry at China. Because the proof is that this system simply doesn't work here. And the system in China works at least for the majority of their people.
Yep.
And the capitalism in the United States, what is it? It's a corporations which are supporting two political parties, which is actually one. In China, about 40% of the industry is in private hands only. Majority is socialist owned, state owned. And there, the government tells the companies what to produce and what to do, not the other way around.
Right.
So it is so-called socialism with Chinese characteristics.
Andre, with the last 45 seconds, can you tell people how they can read your stuff, where to go to? This has just been an unbelievable show. You have over 2 million readers in the world reading what you write. Can you just tell our audience where we can read your stuff and see your documentaries and buy your books?
Well, the best is to go to my website, and you have to spell it for my readers. Problem is that my website is on Weebly, but it is my name, and my name is unpronounceable. So it's the best if they go to your website, and if you could link at least sometime my website, they can find trailers, they can find all the articles are for free. They can read them for free, but they can also find my books and trailers and links to my interviews.
Yeah.
But it would be good because, I do all my best to kind of connect the world of oppressed and oppressors. And also, I think now I will be writing a lot about what is happening in the United States, because for the first time in a long time.
Okay, we're gonna have your stuff on our Facebook page. Thank you very much, Pilots Progressive Party.